Have you ever found yourself second-guessing your instincts, doubting your gut feelings, or feeling disconnected from your intuition? If so, you're definitely not alone. In today's fast-paced, information-saturated world, it's easy to get caught up in the noise and lose touch with that inner voice that once guided us so effortlessly. But what if I told you that you have the power to reignite that intuitive spark and reclaim the confidence to trust your own instincts? Welcome to Intuition Reboot. Join me as we explore practical strategies to quiet the external chatter, tune into your intuitive senses, and cultivate a deep, unwavering trust in your own decision-making abilities. Whether you're seeking clarity in your career, relationships, or personal growth, I'll share some tools and insights that have helped me on my own journey to become more confident in my own intuition. Hello, beautiful soul. Welcome back to The Medium Matters, the podcast where we're all mini mystics learning about the metaphysical, the supernatural, the paranormal, and all the things together. And everyone is a beautiful, glowing unicorn. I am your host, Chantel, and today we're talking about intuition, something we have talked about many, 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 many times. And it just bears repeating and revisiting because I struggle with it. I am sure you struggle with it, if not all the time, at least some of the time. So today I want to share some practical tips to help you on your journey. So let's get into it. If you're anything like me, then you have struggled or are currently struggling to make sense of what's going on with your intuition, right? You know, your inner voice or the voice of your guides, your compass, if you will. Maybe you feel like you can't trust yourself or don't know how to trust yourself. Maybe you've received guidance from your higher self or your guides, only to find that the path that led you down was not exactly what you thought it was going to be or what you were told it was going to be. Maybe you're just full of doubt and think you're just not intuitive or intuitive enough. And maybe I get all of that because I've been where you are and I'm still trying to find the light at the end of the tunnel too. So since bringing the podcast back, I've been open about my struggles with my own intuition because it's important to me that you know where I am. I don't have it all figured out. I have great days and bad days. I get stressed. I get frustrated. I get angry. I get happy. I get all the things. So trust me, I get it. I have to say that developing my intuition years ago meant the universe to me. I was having so much fun getting to know my guides and angels, traveling to new places in my sleep and in my meditations, getting to know my abilities and working to make them stronger, and really just getting to know myself in a really different way. And then life happened and things went from crazy to crazier, and all too quickly, my meditations and crystals and sage bundles and sunshine and rainbow feelings got locked away in a vault that I couldn't even find. And when I came out of that cloud of crazy, I was so exhausted and burned out, and I could barely keep my head above water. I seriously felt like I was so out of sorts. I couldn't even try to put it into words. And every time I tried to get back into the swing of the intuitive things, I felt off, like really off. Nothing was clicking or connecting. I couldn't get in my zone. I didn't feel like I could trust my guides or myself because several things had not turned out the way I'd been told they would. And honestly, those experiences just left me feeling shaken and angry and pretty much just done. I barely felt a connection of any kind to my crystals or divination tools or any of the things that used to bring me so much joy. And it was a huge bummer. These metaphysical and supernatural and paranormal worlds had made me so happy for as long as I could remember, and being in a place where that was no longer the case really had me thinking I'd reached the end. Like, honestly, I wasn't caring too much anymore until recently. So a few weeks ago, I listened to a podcast I hadn't listened to in the longest time. And by longest time, I mean years. I don't know what divine source led me back to it, but there I was standing in my bathroom, getting ready to take a shower and searching for something chill to listen to. And there it was. So on a whim, I clicked on an episode, fully intending to just let it be more of a background situation than anything else. And seriously, it was anything but. The episode started and right away, I felt my body relax. I turned on my diffuser, I hopped in the shower, and felt like I'd suddenly found the path that would lead me home again. It was the most out of the blue thing ever, but I knew the connection as soon as I felt it. That spark, that knowing, that thing I'd been searching for and was prepared to give up, was right there in my bathroom keeping me company, and I was finally ready to acknowledge it, and that felt so amazing. So ultimately, it wasn't about the topic of that podcast episode. Honestly, I don't even remember what they were talking about. It was the voice and the energy that pulled me back like a freaking bungee cord. Totally unexpected, just like everything I've experienced in my intuitive journey. So, you know, super fitting. So these last few weeks, I've been working to get back in the swing of things by taking small baby steps and creating routines for myself. And that's what I want to share with you today, because all of this has been so helpful for me. And my deepest desire is that it will do the same for you, or at least give you some ideas for some new approaches. So first things first, the first thing I did was start meditating. Now, I know I talk about meditation a lot, like a lot, but there's a reason for that. It's because, in my humble opinion, one of the most critical pieces of your journey is meditation. It's like a master key of sorts. Meditation was essential for me back in the day, and it helped me grow like exponentially, just so much. The experiences I had during meditation sessions, I mean, I carry them with me to this day. They are so special to me. They helped me to see things clearly, or see things for the first time. I mean, it was almost like having my own school of magic, and it was incredible. And all these years, I wanted that back so badly I could taste it. I wanted to feel that spark again and connect with my cosmic team again and do all the things again. So I had to go back to the drawing board. So I decided to start with guided meditations, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, nothing too aggressive, like we didn't want to scare anybody, just small baby steps to help me get back into a manageable routine. I also figured out which part of my day was the calmest, and for me that tends to be early morning, and that is the time I committed to. The other thing I did was have a little chat with myself just to say, girl, be chill, let things come as they choose. No pressure here, no pressure. Again, we are not trying to scare anyone off, you know? So I started my days by letting the pups out, getting myself ready, sitting on the couch with my headphones in, scrolling YouTube to find a short guided meditation with a title that resonated with me in that moment, and saying, come what may. After a couple or so weeks of that, I started venturing into music-only meditations, which is similar to the ones I used to listen to way back in the day, and I loved. And that is where things started to spark for me. So I did this for about a week, and then I found my magic sauce, and it is sound baths. Oh, sweet baby Jesus, sound baths. I don't know where I've been all this time, but it clearly has not been in the presence of a sound bath, because great day, what a freaking experience. Okay, so I don't want to oversell this in case you've never done it before, but I'm going to oversell it because I don't know how not to. If you don't know what a sound bath is, then let me connect the dots for you. It is basically a meditative, holistic, and sensory experience that uses the power of sound to help you achieve mindfulness, relaxation, creativity, better sleep, overall healing. I mean, the list goes on. So a trained practitioner uses instruments like singing crystal bowls, gongs, chimes, drums, tuning forks, and other tools. And these tools create beautiful vibrations and sounds that help to promote relaxation. They help to clear your chakras and your aura, and, you know, on and on. So during a session, you sit or you lie with your eyes closed and you immerse yourself in the experience. And really, it's best to be present and to be intentional and to open up to these therapeutic sounds and effects to get the most out of every one of your sessions. So I like to listen to the sounds and figure out which chakras are being affected, how it makes me feel, what thoughts are floating around, what I see, what I smell, you know, all the things. And I really try to be as present as I can be and set the intention to be one with the experience. And I can tell you that since I started doing the sound baths, my meditation sessions have become like super duper impactful. I seriously feel like school is back in session and I am completely here for it. These sessions have been so magical for me. I feel like I have not made this kind of connection with my higher self or my guides, you know, obviously in a very long time, but I don't even know that I made this kind of connection like back in the day when I was practicing heavily. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I will say this, not every session is gonna be spectacular. I've had some that were definitely not club bangers because I was tired or I pushed it off to the end of the day when I had like 1,000 other things on my mind. And you know what? That's okay. It doesn't mean I didn't get anything out of those sessions. It just means the impact was far more subtle and exactly what I needed then and there. Meditation as a whole, I mean, when we brought the podcast back in March, I think it was, I did an entire month of meditation minisodes just to give all of us a really good idea and beginner understanding of different types of meditations, different styles. And in there, hopefully there's something that resonates with you. But meditation as a whole, oh my gosh, how informative and healing and just connecting that experience is. Those sessions really are what you put into them, what you make them. So again, not every single session is going to be sparks and flying colors and, you know, meetings with guides and all the things. You know, some of them are going to be chill. Some of them, like, there won't be anything going on. Some, there will be a lot of thoughts racing and, you know, your to-do list is going to just cycle through over and over and over. And that's okay. Acknowledge those things. Let them know that you see them, you recognize they're there, and maybe you need to consider why those things are there. Why are they taking up space when you are designating time for you? So meditation, yes, and more than just a meditation, a sound bath. Look into it if you haven't done it, if you've never done it. I just find my videos on YouTube, and I will gladly link. There's one or two different channels that I have been vibing, and there's one for sure. So I will try to remember to link it in the show notes. But oh my gosh, the transformation that is happening. I mean, as a whole, I feel just such a change. Meditation only. I am telling you. So please try it. If a sound bath does not sound like your vibe, check out the March episodes that we did with the different types of meditations, or just do a little research on your own. But I am telling you, if you just make a commitment, and it can be just a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and just start with a guided meditation like I did, I'm telling you. Okay, so we've meditated. Next up is journaling. So I know I've talked about journaling before, and I'm sure I'll talk about it again. So here we go. This is another critical piece because it's your manual. You are literally creating your very own like manufacturer's guide that tells you what's what, which screw to tighten and when, and all the things. So for me, I've journaled on and off since like before SAND, and I've never really stuck with it. There's like a really big part of me that feels like I have zero desire to go back and revisit things that I didn't like or made me feel icky in any way. And that's just me. That's fine. It is not my vibe. But recently it finally occurred to me that what I need right now is a place to document my spiritual or metaphysical or energy healing or supernatural or whatever you want to call it, journey. I need a place where I can write all the things I'm experiencing during meditations and when I'm spending time with my crystals and when I pull a tarot card and everything in between. So when I looked at it that way versus writing about my day and, you know, whatever, then I suddenly felt excited about it because I'm really focusing on one area, and this is an area that excites me. So the great thing about documenting your journey is that you can go back through your notes and piece things together. Eventually, you'll see patterns and make connections that you never saw before. Maybe you include your dreams in your journal, the times you see a flash of light out of the corner of your eye, the response you received from your pendulum when you asked your question this morning. The list is endless, but the point is that this journal will be your record, a record about you and for you. It'll teach and show you things you otherwise would have missed or may have missed. because you think you'll remember this cool thing that happened during your sound bath, but you won't, and there goes that. So I know journaling is not for everyone. It is not one of the things that I vibe with. It does not resonate with me. But when I look at it as this singular piece where I am working on rebuilding my intuition and working on my intuitive development and this part of my world, then it made complete sense. Otherwise, for me, I have no interest. But, you know, just think about it, try it casually, and see if there's something that resonates with you. And eventually, you know, whenever the mood strikes you, or when you feel like you've been, you know, traveling down the road a little bit, go back and reread things and see where things start to line up. And I'm so excited. Moving on, your guides. Ask your guides for help. Ask them for signs. So I know we've done at least one episode, like way back in the day, where we talked about guides. You have guides, I have guides, we all have guides. But they're not going to step in to offer help unless you ask, assuming, of course, it's not an emergency. So under normal circumstances, your guides are standing by waiting to help, but they need you to ask them for help. They need to be asked for their guidance. If you don't know your guides, ask to meet them during a meditation. Ask them to come to you in your dreams. Ask them to come to you when you feel safe and you designate the time and the space. Ask them a question and then sit in silence and see what comes to you. You know what you can do then? You can write the answer in your journal. Ah, see how we circle back to that? So when you ask them a question and get a response, trust the first thing that you get. Write about it in your intuitive journey journal and come back to it later and see if the answer still resonates or resonates even more. You could ask your guides for a sign if that makes you feel more confident in the information you're receiving. So for example, you could say, I would like my guides to show me a double rainbow so I know they are with me. So this example would work well if you don't normally see double rainbows. If you do, then this sign won't mean anything to you. So your sign, the thing that you're asking for, needs to be something unique. If you always see like rainbow colored butterflies, then I wouldn't ask for the rainbow colored butterfly to be your sign. I would ask for something else. So something you don't often see in your daily life. So getting back to our double rainbow sign, be prepared to see your double rainbow in the sky or on a sticker at the store, or as part of a TV or streaming ad, on a t-shirt, or you see where I'm going. It could be on a bumper sticker, it could be wherever, but don't assume that because you ask to see a double rainbow, you will only see it in the sky, like after the rain has fallen or whatever. Like, this can show up anywhere. You may get like an ad or something in your mailbox and you flip through it and there's a double rainbow right there. So be open to the way they deliver this sign, but just ask for a sign and it will help to boost your confidence. Next up is divination tools. So one of my favorites is the pendulum. I have like, I don't even know how many pendulums anymore. I am losing count, but I do have a different pendulum for almost everything. But that is another episode entirely. I have a dominant pendulum that I use for myself and only for myself. I don't use it to gather information for other people or plants or pets or anything. I've built a connection with my pendulum. I trust it. It is solely for me. And I feel really good about asking it questions. So when I receive a message during a meditation, for example, I'll sometimes ask my pendulum if the information I received is correct or if I received the information correctly. When I have some doubts, it's nice to check in and get confirmation from my pendulum. It is my ace. If pendulums aren't your thing, there's tarot cards, there's runes and crystals, and so much more. I just encourage you to find something that resonates with you. Always be very safe in your practice. You know, no dabbling. We've talked about this before. Build your connection with your tool or tools and see what you get. The flip side of that is that I would say do not rely heavily on your divination tools or any tools. The purpose of this is to help you build or rebuild or reboot your intuition and your confidence, the confidence you have in your intuition and in the information you receive from your inner voice, your guides, etc. it is not to be dependent on having a tool like an external tool that will give you these answers. I hope that makes sense. So my next tip, it's not a common one, but it is important just the same. And here it is. You are what you eat. Okay, let me explain. There are foods that fuel your body. They balance your body, they balance your energy, and basically make you feel great in all the right ways. And then there are foods that, you know, equally or even more delicious, but they weigh you down energetically, physically, and emotionally. So I have figured out along the way that certain foods inflame my body. Certain foods make me feel achy, sleepy, cranky, hyper, whatever. Some foods send me crashing with a quickness. Some keep me up at night. They make my skin break out. They bloat me. You see where I'm going. And I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to focus or even want to focus or string together coherent thoughts when I feel like crap, utter crap. My brain gets foggy and I'm just a mess. I cannot effectively concentrate during a meditation or try to do a reading for someone because I ultimately just feel like my channels are all jumbled together. I can't make sense of anything and it's not the vibe. Now, the good foods, and I know good food and good is subjective, so I'll say whole foods, unprocessed foods. These foods, they make me feel light and airy. I feel energized and sharp, like there is an extra pep in my step. My vibration is high, my mind is clear, my emotions feel balanced, I feel far more aware, and that feels really, really good. So when I'm eating whole foods and consuming lots of greens and fresh fruits and vegetables and really focusing on hydrating my body, fueling myself before hunger strikes, I do find that my intuitive development is far more productive. Now, listen, I am not telling you to become a vegan or a fruitarian or anything. I am not telling you what to do in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying that I've noticed a connection for myself, and if you haven't already, maybe you will too. But I have noticed such a connection between food and where I am emotionally, where I am physically, I mean, all the things. And none of this is new. It's not earth-shattering information. But I do think that, you know, sometimes these are things we just have to learn on our own. It's not enough to read about someone else's experience or hear about someone else's experience because we don't necessarily know what these things feel like just from reading them. Sometimes you have to go through these things. You have to experience them on your own. And that was true for me. You know, if 1,000 years ago, someone had told me that I would reach the point where like pizza would inflame my body, I would have been like, huh, you're crazy. Because I was like a fetus then, you know, but now I know better. I know differently and my body doesn't respond the same to these things. But I also have learned to read my body and listen to my body. And that includes everything. That is my energy, my vibration, all of these things. So food definitely plays a huge role for me, and it likely does for you too. And here is my last tip. Be intentional. Be intentional about everything you're doing and take action accordingly. So you can't effectively meditate if you're trying to watch TV at the same time. You know what I mean? There are definitely times when you can multitask, and there are times when you need to put your blinders on so you can focus, and then set the intention to accomplish something specific during your session, be it meditation, time with your pendulum or crystal, journaling, whatever it is. You matter, your time matters. Make the most of both, and they will help you make the most of your journey and your connection. Listening to your inner voice, it really allows you to live a life that is true to your authentic self, guided by your innate wisdom and intuition. It really empowers you to make choices that align with your deepest values and aspirations, which leads to a greater sense of fulfillment and purpose. Just press the reset button, make yourself and your connection a priority, and go make some magic happen. That is our episode on reconnecting with your intuition or rebooting your intuition. I really hope that this helped you to reboot or at least feel inspired to think about it. If you have questions about reconnecting with your intuition or your guides or questions about anything else in this arena, this metaphysical, supernatural, paranormal, energy healing world, then feel free to send them my way. We are all learning together. You're definitely not alone. I never want you to feel like you are alone, because we're all here for you. I am here for you. We have a beautiful little Media Matters family that is here for you. So ask your questions and let's figure this stuff out together. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow for more and share it with the ones you like and love, because sharing is caring. Send us your questions on Instagram, Facebook, or via email at hello@themediamatters.com. Head over to themediamatters.com to join our free mailing list, where we talk about upcoming moon cycles, rituals for the seasons, everyday magic, and so much more. With that, I hope you have a beautiful, sunshiny spring day, my friend. See you next time.